Welcome to the first episode of From the Showring to Your Kitchen Table. On today's episode, we will be talking about approaches used to raise the highest quality of beef. Later in the episode, I will be joined by Baylor Smith, a fourth-generation cattle rancher who is working to create an operation of the highest quality in providing consumers with high-quality beef. When thinking about the quality of beef you want, you must first think about the quality of animal, and genetics play a huge part in this. When choosing an animal, it's important to choose the one that best fits what you are striving to succeed. For example, if you are looking for both cow prospects and bull prospects, you would look for maternal traits. I suggest looking at 7 specific expected progeny differences for looking at maternal prospects. The first being calving ease direct, or CED. A calving ease direct is expressed in differences in percentages of unassisted births along with higher value indicating greater calving ease in first calf heifers. It also predicts the average difference in ease of a sire's calves will be born when he breeds first calf heifers. The next EPD is birth weight. This is expressed in pounds and is predicted by a sire's ability to transmit birth weight to his progeny compared to that of other sires. A low birth weight is crucial in order to not have a multitude of assisted births. Weaning weight is also a crucial EPD. It is expressed in pounds and is used to predict the sire's ability to transmit weaning growth to his progeny. Residual average daily gain, or RADG, is also expressed in pounds per day. It predicts the sire's genetic ability for post-weaning gain in future progeny compared to other sires when you take into account the amount of feed that is being consumed. Scrotal circumference is a measurement based in centimeters and is a predictor of the differences in transmitting scrotal size when compared to other bulls within the breed to their progeny. Next is the maternal milk EPD, and this is a predictor of the sire's genetic ability for milk production and the mothering ability as expressed in his daughters. In simpler terms, it is part of the calf's weaning weight attributed to milk and the mothering ability. Lastly is docility. This is crucial in maintaining both heifers and bulls. Docility is expressed as a difference in yearling cattle temperament with a higher value indicating a more favorable docility. It also goes on to predict the average difference of progeny from a sire in comparison with another sire's calves. In herds where temperament problems are not really an issue, the expected progeny difference would not be utilized. To understand how to better your herd, we have Baylor Smith to help us understand his approach to better herd raised to become the highest quality of beef. What do you see as the most important aspect in bettering your herd, and how do you go about purchasing cattle that will meet these requirements?
The most important aspect to take into consideration when building a better herd is to look for phenotypical and genotypical traits that are going to add value to your cattle. This is especially useful when purchasing cattle from outside ranches. Our ranch's most recent purchase from an outside heifer was an outside heifer that we hope to use as a future donor for our program. We had all of the desirable traits we really looked for in an animal. She had a CED of +7, meaning that she would likely be no problem in her calving, and it would be unassisted. She had a weaning weight of 55, of yearling weight of 9, and a milk of 20, meaning that she is going to produce low birth weight cattle that have high milking capabilities and will reach higher weaning and yearling weights than those animals that do have the milking capability. She has a dollar B, which stands for dollar beef, of 126, making her in the 75 percentile of the breed, and a dollar M, which stands for dollar maternal value of 27, putting her in the 95 percentile. That, along with her build, made her an ideal purchase. We have already been looking for a potential sire for a future calf that will produce a maternal, well-built calf that can add value to our breeding program while also having the potential to compete in the show ring.
Thank you, Baylor, for adding those points to add value to any program. While the maternal side has different values when it comes to the steers, we don't look at EPDs or genetics as they are terminal projects, and this is known from the time that they are purchased. It is important to keep the following considerations in mind. The first is to think about where your end goal is and what you hope to achieve. For example, are you wanting to take them to a county fair, a Texas major, or a state fair? This is important to know because of the size, age, and breed that you are wanting to select. For example, if you are going to a county show in March, you would likely get your animal in May or June, typically. Next, know your budget. You have to have a budget in mind when looking at animals, and this is going to determine the animal that you can get because you have to stay within the price range. If there's a steer that's $5,000 but your price range is $2,500, you're simply going to have to compromise. Lastly, do your research before purchasing the first steer that you see. The first breeder might not be the best fit for you, so you should consider reaching out to multiple breeders and looking at what they have to offer. You never know when something better is going to come along. If that first steer you see is truly the best fit for you, you can always reach back out to the seller and contact them regarding whether that steer is available or not. Overall structure is the most important factor when looking at show steers because if they cannot walk, they cannot exercise properly. And if they cannot exercise properly, ultimately it's going to cost them in other areas of their body. They should be heavily muscled, square built, they should have a good set to their shoulders and knees, and they should have a good angle about them. They should be smooth jointed, as if they are not smooth jointed and they appear to be larger jointed, it can indicate potential structure concerns that can cause long-term effects for their future and hurt the value of the animal. Aside from this, there are no specific EPDs that are needed, although people do tend to look at the most popular bulls that are currently on the market. Ultimately, we don't take EPDs into effect because these animals are market animals. We go into this knowing that these animals are terminal projects that will put beef on consumers' tables. The meat that we put on these consumers' tables should be consistent with USDA standards. In order to be considered prime on the USDA standards, they must have a minimum degree of marbling required as a minimum slightly abundant amount for a carcass throughout the range of maturity permitted in the bullock class. The ribeye muscle is moderately firm, and in carcasses having the maximum maturity for this class, the ribeye is light red colored. In order to reach choice grade, the minimum degree of marbling is required and a minimum small amount for carcass throughout the range of maturity permitted in the bullock class. The ribeye muscle may be slightly soft, and in the carcass have the maximum maturity for this class. The ribeye is moderately lightly red in color. For select, the minimum degree of marbling required is a minimum slight amount for carcasses throughout the range of maturity permitted in the bullock class. The ribeye muscle may be moderately slight and in the carcasses have the minimum maturity for this class. The ribeye is slightly red in color. Ultimately, show steers typically will not be outside of these quality grades unless special circumstances are permitted. These grades will play a factor in the prices that you receive for these animals, if not in dollar per pound, then in premiums for reaching those grades. In the end, whether you are looking for replacement cattle, herd bulls, show steers, or show heifers, the ultimate decisions come down to your preferences and what is going to provide the best possible quality for your consumers. In the case of beef, we must meet the quality standards that are set and strive to produce the best beef that they had ever had. Because while it may be cheaper at the store, consumers tend to favor farm-to-table beef, even though it is slightly higher in price, for the flavor, customer service, and added peace of mind of knowing where your beef comes from. As opposed to at the grocery store, where the meat is typically an import from other countries, such as Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Australia, and New Zealand, where although their standards meet the USDA standards, we do not know the practices in which they use. In order to find farm-to-table beef, reach out to local producers about how to purchase from them. There may be a list that you will have to add your name to, and in some cases it may take up to a year due to the limited availability. However, I believe that you will find the experience shockingly easy and the meat will shock you with the difference from store-bought. Thank you for tuning into this episode of From the Show Ring to Your Kitchen Table. Please join us next time where we will talk swine, lamb, and goats and speak with a consumer regarding their take on the must-haves in meat quality. Until next time, remember, you need a farmer every day, three times a day. Eat local and support local farmers and ranchers.